I was trying to find a way to set up my PowerPoint that I wasn't giving away the punchline, and I found this. I know some of you are probably too young to know what this is. Those of us who are older have recollection of waking up in the middle of the night, really we fell asleep with the TV on, and we heard this, with something like this on the screen. I had to put it in there. I'll use that as my friend so I can tune my presentation. This isn't part of my presentation, although please stand by. I think a show of hands, how many people here have I disappointed? I knew I'd get Sarge. My wife's being polite, you know, right? Carol's scratching her head. I don't know. That could be discreet. Well, you know what? You ever try to start something and get finished? You should know, guilt really works for me. If I say I want to try to do it, but like everybody else, oftentimes we leave things. Here's Schubert's Unfinished Symphony. There are all kind of arguments about why they didn't. He didn't die, by the way. He just didn't finish it. Well, he did die originally, but that's not why it's not done. Then here's a house. It's a do-it-yourself one. Obviously, they didn't get fun doing it. There's a kit car that sits somewhere. I had an old Corvette that I pasted like two pieces together. We eventually sold it at a garage sale. Behind our great flag here, we have a bridge. I hope somebody's going to finish that because that looks like it's not quite done. Puzzles. Some of us belong to a puzzle club, by the way, the sneaky one who keeps one in their pocket so they can put the last one in. And puzzles make me nervous. I'm not good at puzzles, but I don't mind getting the squares. We used to do it with Mom and Pop Baisley, if you remember Mom and Pop Baisley. But I think Fran used to hide a puzzle piece. I could be wrong. And here, the king of unfinished projects. We all plan to do things we don't get done. Guess what? God never does. That's what I want to talk about today. God never plans on something he doesn't finish. I'm not a big fan of bumper stickers. As a matter of fact, by and large, I don't like them. And people would say, with a Jesus sticker on the back that cut you off in traffic and things like that. Not real fond of that. But this is one I do like. Please be finished. Please be patient because God is not finished with me yet. And what I want to talk about today is how God starts, how he continues, and how he finishes. Because he always finishes everything he starts. So I have a little race here. I've never seen the starting point of a race. I'm way in the back. But let's start with this. Psalm 139:5 talks about this. 139 says, "You beset me behind and before. Your hand holds me up." I was thinking of that great movie, The Blind Side. Remember the quote that Michael gave to Leanne Toohey? He said, "I've got your back." I always think about that. God's got your back. He's got your back, he's got your front, he's got your side. It means to bind, besiege, confine, cramp. Now, I'll tell you what, that's the kind of binding I want. I really do. Isaiah 43:1 says, "I've called you by your name. You are mine." This morning I talked about the good shepherd calls the sheep by name. They actually do name sheep in Europe, and the sheep recognize their names and they'll come forward. We all have names. God calls us by our name. Luke 24:25, I find this amazing. On the Emmaus Road, they're walking. Jesus is walking alongside of them, chatting with them, and guess what? They don't recognize him. How can you not recognize the risen Christ? So what happens was he opened their understandings. The word there, prosecco, means he let the light go on. We talked about this morning. He started that. He started in helping to understand that. John is full of instances of this. John 6:37 says, "All the Father gives to me will come to me." That's the start. How did you get here? You were given. John 6:44, "No man can come except the Father draw him." The word there, elkuo, means to draw along. I've recently been reading more about this. It's kind of a loving drawing. It is against our wills, but we come willingly in many cases. We're just drawn naturally by God. John 6:35 says, "No man can come except it's given him of the Father." John 10:3, we just talked about that earlier this morning. He calls the sheep by name and he leads them out. Sheep have to be led. Left to our own as sheep, we wander a lot. Tyler had to drive somewhere yesterday. I don't even know this about kids. Kids don't know the names of any roads at all. they don't, you have to say, well, it's next to a sheet, or it's across from the Walmart, and you give direct, well, you turn on Oregon Road. Where's that? Yeah, I'm not much better, but it's taken me 50 plus, almost 60 years to start to recognize places. I now know south isn't downhill. I used to not know that. My wife and I never came closer to divorce than traveling places. She'll tell you that's a fact, because I thought I would recognize the turn, and I never did. I really should have a GPS. John 15 says, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you and ordained you. John 15, 19 said, I've chosen you out of the world. God begins this stuff. Philippians 1, 6 says, he has begun a good work in you. Anarchomai says, begun to make a beginning. We're going to see a couple of fun. Want to watch these. You're going to see two words that are going to show up a lot in this study. A word for beginning and a word for end. All kinds of forms of this word are used by God. And I'll show you too. They're really, really quite beautiful. That God starts it, God continues it, and God finishes it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, God has from the beginning chosen you. From what beginning? From his beginning, which doesn't exist. From the very, very start. You have two examples of where God started. There's a great story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings 17 about Elijah. Now you should know that this is right after Elijah told King Ahab, not a very nice man, it's not going to rain. And it stopped on that spot. As a matter of fact, he went into hiding because pretty much everybody blamed him for the fact that there was no rain. So God told Elijah, I want you to go up to the brook Cherith and I'm going to feed you by ravens. There was a little brook up there of water that was still coming. And he stayed there until the very, very end, until that dried out. Now one thing you should know about ravens, ravens don't share well. Ravens are thieving birds. The fact that ravens brought food to Elijah is an incredible miracle. So he went immediately when God told him to. But then at a certain point in 17:9, he stayed until there was no water left. There was a little muddy stream. So, okay, God says, okay, now I want you to go somewhere else. And he sent him way down the pike. In 17:8 it says, and the Lord came to him saying in 19, rise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commanded a widow woman there to sustain you. He didn't say, you might find somebody nice there. Excuse me. Hang around. If you see somebody nice, go to the front and look thirsty. And if you remember the story, she gave the last of her things, thought it was the last meal before she was going to die. Why did she do that? Why did she do that? God commanded her. God commanded her. By the way, there were all kinds of Hebrew widows that could have been used for this. God sent her. God sent Elijah to a pagan widow. Isn't that interesting? Another one. New Testament, Lydia, Acts 16, 14. Lydia, extraordinary, the seller of purple. We always know she sold purple. Certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things were spoken of Paul. Why did she understand what Paul was saying? God opened her heart. Otherwise, she wouldn't have gotten it. The word there, diagnago, means open by dividing, drawing asunder, open thoroughly. So I said this, it's like the light bulb goes on. Oh! So God started it. Not only it starts, by the way, this isn't me. If it was me, I'd be way back here somewhere. God only knows starts things. Absolutely, he starts it all. He continues it. Let me show you some of those. Lamentations, what a beautiful, beautiful. This shame, it's such beautiful, it's such a sad name. Lamentations, you know, I'm lamenting. But Lamentations tells us that is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. That's where that great old gospel song comes from. Great is thy faithfulness. They're new every morning. You get up, God has compassions for you. You need new ones, don't worry. Tomorrow morning you need some compassion, it's waiting for you. So it wasn't the start, it was continuing it. Go back to Philippians 1:6. Now I talked before about he that begun, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Remember I told you about those special words? Look at this. Epiteleo. See that T-E-L-E-O? That's Greek for end. In Greek, when you hear something is perfect, it means it's complete. And that's the word, teleos. And we're going to see all kinds of forms of this verb here. So he's going to perform it until the day of Jesus. When's he going to stop? When it's all done. He's going to continue to perform it. Philippians 2:3 says, it's God working you to will to do of his good pleasure. Incredible words in here. Incredible words. So it is God who's working you to will and do of his good pleasure. The word to, these are all present tense. So God didn't work it in you. He's not going to work it in you. He not used to work it in you. He's working it. Energeo is actually used twice. Working and to do. Same word. Energize. Be operative. Be at work. Put forth power. There's no greater power than God's power. Man thinks he has power. We think we accomplish things. We're so proud of ourselves. Wasn't that something? You know, I got to the finish line of the marathon standing up. There was somebody behind me. I thought, didn't I do something? Then I go back to my book and say, well, I was actually 10 minutes faster than last year. That's how slow I was last year. So, but, you know, I didn't do anything. Then I read about somebody with one leg who hopped through there and made it less time. Or I have been passed by people carrying canes. I literally was passed by a woman pushing twins on mile 17 in the Marine Corps Marathon some years ago. You won't get humbled. That'll do it. My favorite t-shirt from my last marathon. If you can read this t-shirt, you just got passed by a pregnant woman. That was the t-shirt. By the way, I passed her. I like the t-shirt though. God's working. He's willing to have in mind. It's God continually actioning you to will and to do. He's not only starting it. We know he starts it, but he's continuing it. You know, wind it up and let it go. There is no perpetual motion machine. You can't get it started and just let it go on its own. It all winds down. Everything's winding down. Our bodies are winding down. The world's winding down. You know, everything's it's all changing. Not for God. Not for God. How else to continue? There's a really neat example from the New Testament. I want to borrow the Far Side. I've showed you this one before. This poor deer has a birthmark that has a bullet as a point. It said, bummer of a birthmark, Hal. You ever feel like that? Like the universe is taking a bead on you? Like don't stand under a tree because there's birds waiting for you? I told you before the story my dad told about, you know, being in the Army. And these guys, these paratroopers go out and they were getting training and they were airborne, so they're going to jump out of the plane. So the drill instructor said, okay, here's what I want you to do. When I say go, I want you to jump out, count to 10. 10, pull the ripcord, the chute will deploy, you'll float to the earth, the truck will get you, take you back to the barracks. If for some untoward reason that doesn't work, count to 3, pull the reserve ripcord, that suit will deploy, you float down to the ground, the truck will take you back to the barracks. Okay, I'm nervous, but you don't tell a drill instructor no. You do it. So they're up about 10,000 feet, and the guy jumps out, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then pulls it. Nothing happens. Okay, counts to 3 more, pulls another. Now there's a guy plummeting right next to him, okay? They're dropping down together. He pulls a second one, that one doesn't work. He turns to the other guy, he says, you know, I bet the truck won't be there either. You ever have days like that? It happened to Peter. Right after the very first communion, in Luke 22, they gave the communion, and afterward, interestingly enough, Jesus alluded somebody was going to turn him in. And for a minute, they wondered who it was, and they started complaining about who's the most important. Isn't that amazing? They just had the first Eucharist in history. They have an argument about who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's so typical of us, of humans, to move on to something like that. But Jesus shares some more information with him, and then he says these terrible words. He says, Peter, Peter, he says, 22:31, Lord said, Simon, Simon. Anytime somebody says your name twice, look out. Now, I was a very good kid. I can't recall my parents ever saying my name twice. My brother Jerry's, a lot. But I still remember the time that he shot my dad in the leg with a shotgun. They were hunting, and my dad called out, "Hen," means you don't shoot, right? Jerry blasted, "What are you doing? I thought you said shoot." Yeah, that's Jerry. But Simon, Simon. Says, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat. How would you like to feel? Talk about a birthmark. The word desired, I don't have it up here, but the word desired means to ask, to beg, to request. He wants to sift you, siniazo, to sift you, to shake in a sieve, to shake it all out. He says, Satan wants desire to sift you like wheat. What's the next verse? But I have prayed that your faith fail not. Wow. This is the verse I want to hear after that verse. If God says, you know, Satan's got it. I'm pretty sure Satan has his mind on me. I'm pretty good at screwing up on my own. But Peter said, Satan wants you, but I have prayed for you. Here's a question. By the way, the NSV says, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. You're going to be stronger for this. And he truly, truly was as a result of this. He did get sifted, didn't he? With curses, he denied his very Lord that he said, I'll never, ever deny you. Here's my question. Do you think Peter would have had that faith if Christ hadn't prayed for him? I was thinking about that. Wow. I would be emboldened if the Messiah told me, I'm pulling for you. I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when you've come around, which by the way implies that he's going to fail, to some degree, you'll be able to strengthen your brothers even more. Here's my answer. I don't think so. Faith is a gift. We know from Galatians 5:22 and Ephesians 2, faith is a gift from God. I think that faith came to him as a direct result of Christ's prayer for him, enable him to strengthen his brothers. And I'm thinking, wow, Christ prayed for him. What a great person to have on your team. Remember, we're in the continues, God continues. And I'm thinking, wouldn't that be great if the Son of God was praying for me like he did for Satan, for Peter in the face? Well, guess what? Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. The word there for uttermost is panteles. It means complete, perfect. Look at my buddy. See the T-E-L in there? All ends. You realize that the very thing that Christ did for Peter, he's doing for us. He is able to save us to the uttermost. He ever lives to make intercession for us. 1 John 2:1 says, if any man sin, by the way, it's a third trend. So if you did, if you didn't, you will. Don't worry about it. I write, if you sin not, if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Parakletos, the paraclete. Christ is pulling for us. Remember I showed you, God said, I have your back. Jesus says, I'm there for you. I'm in heaven ever making intercession for you. I am praying for you. So if and when you fail, you can come again and strengthen the brothers. So not only did it happen to Peter, it's happening right now for us. Not only does he continue, because he starts, he continues, but he finishes. Got to tell you a story about this picture. One of my rules for running is I want to finish standing up and I want to pass a woman. A lot of you know that rule. Matter of fact, some people have shared it. And don't get too upset about it, because trust me, there are scores and hundreds of women that pass me their home in the tub while I'm looking for the finishing line. But I found this picture of somebody, this guy crossing the finish line with the angel pulling down. Well, my nephew, Brady, lives over in Allentown. He's very computer savvy. He took that picture and he created this and sent it to me. So this is actually in my office. Along with, we run with patients, Larissa said before us. And what, if you look closely, you can see that this person here and this person here are the same face. Brady copied the picture of the finisher, put another one there, made him a woman, put him behind me, and then gave a finish line so I could win. Never happened. But God carries us through to the finish. He finishes. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Says, who shall also confirm you unto the end? You may be blameless the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word for confirm, the bio, means to make firm, to establish, to make sure, to be a solid foundation. A lot of issues with foundations in the weather we've just had. This foundation is not going anywhere. The bio. Christ, he shall confirm us to the very end. By the way, the word there for end is the same word we saw earlier. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Word for perfected, teleao. See my little friend there? Telos. Perfected. To make perfect, to make it complete, to carry through completely. None of those pictures I showed you earlier, the unfinished symphony or the kit car that's in pieces, to accomplish, to finish, to bring to an end. Remember, there's an old movie called The Agony of the Ecstasy with Charlton Heston, and I think Rex Harrison was the Pope, and he kept coming in, and Leonardo da Vinci was always on his back painting the roof. I think I told you earlier, if he'd used a roller, he'd have been done a lot sooner. But he's painting the roof, painting the Sistine Chapel, and the Pope comes in and says, when will you make an end? Anybody enough of a movie buff to know what his answer was? When I am finished. When will you make an end? That's this word, teleao. He has perfected forever. Now, that's a perfect active indicative. Let's wax a little grammatical here then. Perfect active indicative. First of all, the active and indicative means a statement of fact. Active means he did it. Perfect is a point of time in the past, the results of which have continued. So, when did God complete it? Perfect us? Way back when? How long does it keep? To the end. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Perfect active indicative. It's all done. What needs to be done? Nothing. What do I have to do? Nothing. That's the problem. See? Don't I have to paint my bumpers? Don't I have to go to church on Sunday? Don't I have to have devotion? Well, that would be nice. You skip the bumper thing, but yeah, that would be nice. But you don't have to. You don't have to, because if you have to, all of a sudden, the cross of Christ is nullified. It was just about enough. Just need a little bit more. That was the problem we talked earlier today about in John's describing the Judaizers that said, yeah, Paul's got a great gospel, absolutely believe in Christ, but you've got to follow those rules too. If you want to be a bona fide Christian, and what was the term he used for it? Anathema. Accursed. Pretty harsh words. As a matter of fact, if you look at it, actually, what Paul did with Peter, and Martha and I were talking about that earlier this week, Peter was a fisherman. He's probably a pretty big guy. I mean, he had gnarly... Have you ever seen the hands of somebody who fishes for... He probably had a handshake like a vice. What do we know about Paul's appearance from scriptures? Some runny little Jewish guy with a gnarled up face, and we think some of it might be as a result of his eyes from the Damascus Road. But I'm thinking, here's Mutt and Jeff, and this little Weasley guy is standing up to a guy who could, on his best day, whoop him with his bad hand. And he did it in public. And you know, you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go in private. Why do you think that Paul did that in public? Why didn't he come to Peter? Remember, Peter actually knew better. Peter was the one that saw the animals come down, and there were all kinds of animals, and the God said, take, eat. And he said, oh, I've never eaten anything that's unclean. And what did he say? What God has called clean, don't call unclean. So he knew better. He knew the Gentiles were welcome. The minute he got under the pressure of the Judaizers or of the Jewish church, he kind of caved. I think the reason why Paul went directly to him was just how dangerous this was. If the Judaizers had been let to continue, this end, this shows me, is completed. When has he made you complete? In the past. You're complete. You're done. What do you need yet? Nothing. Nothing. I think that's why it happened. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy before us. Look at the words here. The author, archegos. See, arche? Something's archaic, it's very old. Right? Arche is the beginning. That's the start. There's our friend again, teleos, a perfecter, a completer. So what point does Christ have in our faith? The whole thing. Started it, continued it, finished it. You know the most amazing part of this verse to me? Our. Why do you think I find that amazing? Author and finisher of our faith. It's not really mine, is it? It's a gift of God. For grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's actually, somebody turned this off. There we go. We get credit. The most amazing things I'll ever see in Scripture, we get to do things through God's power that we have nothing to do with, and He gives us credit for it as if we had. I find that just extraordinary. And He's the starter and the finisher of our faith. 1 Peter, this is an incredible verse. There's like three sermons in this verse alone. Look at 1 Peter 5:10. He says, but the God of all grace. I saw a church sign this morning that says, we do grace here. I thought, I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. I hope they do. It's a nice sign. Much better than some of those stupid things they put on church signs these days. God of all grace. How much grace? All of it. Most of it? All of it. 75%? All of it. A good bit? No. All of it. God of all grace. Make you perfect. Katartizo, to complete. Now that doesn't use a telos in it, but that's to complete or complete thoroughly. It is done. Stick a fork in it. It's finished. Establish you. We don't use establish in the English anymore. I think we say establish. Stay rizzo, to turn resolutely in a certain direction. Isn't that interesting? To turn a certain direction, guess what? We're going the wrong way. This morning I was talking about the sheep, and you let sheep alone, they wander around. So do I. I get lost. When I'm told to go somewhere, I think I know where I'm going to go, but I mix up 30 and 283. You know, somebody will say, where are we going? I said, we're going here. Well, that's over there. I said, well, I'm making good time. You know, I get turned around. See, isn't it interesting we had to be turned resolutely in a certain direction? It's almost like God grabs by the shoulder and says, no, this way. Why? We've turned away. This morning, all we thy sheep have gone astray, turned our own ways, and it's always the wrong way. It's always the wrong way. Stay rizzo. Strengthen, stenao, to bodily vigor, strengthen. Boy, I'd love that. I would love to have more of that. I was telling men's, I don't know if that was his first hour. Before I run marathons, like the day before, I get new pains in my body that I didn't realize I had before. And I'm thinking, now how am I going to run 26 miles when with this one? Where did this come from? I didn't have this yesterday. It moves around, you know. It's different places. Bodily vigor strengthened. All aorist tenses, I'll talk to you about in a minute. And then finally, themeliao, to lay a basis. Establish, strengthen, and settle you. the God of all grace. All aorist tenses. What does that mean? I always remember Dr. Feigert saying yesterday, he said, my wife's going to get a temporary. It can't be a permanent because she needs another one. I'm really glad that, because otherwise my wife wouldn't have work. You know, if you only got your hair cut once, that's the great thing about a business. It eventually grows back for most of us. Or in varying degrees. But a temporary, you don't get a permanent. Well, God's permanents are permanent. Those are aorist tenses. That tells us that God, at a point in time, in eternity past, when he picked you by name, he did four things. He made you completely, he completed you completely, he turned you in a certain direction, he gave you the strength and vigor, and he laid a very firm foundation, all aorist tenses, a point of time when it's done. He said, when God does it, it's done. We don't have to do it again. We try to do it again, don't we? We always try to create something else to do it, but that's all of him. All the way to the end of the Bible. Way back in Revelations 22:13 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the two first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, right? The beginning and the end, the first and the last. Beginning, there's our buddy Arche again. That's where it starts. And telos, that's the root form that all these words I'm going to show you have come from, the end, the complete. God made, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. The amazing thing is, it's all at once. We don't understand that. Everything we have is beginning, a middle, and end. Everything about us goes through transitions in the process. Maslow's hierarchy of needs talks about being self-actualized. We're in the process of becoming something. I had a client saw me the other day, and you know, he sent me an email afterwards. I said, I really helped his chi. I don't know what that means. It was a nice note. I think I helped him feel better. I didn't even know he had a chi. I know about chi of pets. I don't think that's what he meant. But I helped his chi. He wanted to hear me preach, which is kind of interesting. Better not now that I mentioned him in the sermon, huh? But we always have a start. I'm getting there, okay? I'm getting there. What did I say? Please be patient. God hasn't finished with me yet. Well, down here, but is God finished with me in eternity? You betcha. All I need to do is have either pass this mortal coil, you know, my cousin, Jeff, I think I shared this with somebody here. My uncle, who passed away recently, we went to his memorial service. Jeff said, Dad's not here. He's in heaven. This is just his skin suit. I thought about that. You know, my skin suit doesn't fit as well as it used to. But yeah, that has to happen. Or maybe he has to send down that fiery chariot. That'd be a fun way to go to heaven. I would like that. Actually, I'd like a 63 split window Corvette to come get me. I would really like that. And if you get to see it, then you'll get a double portion of my... No, I'm kidding. Beginning and the end. The first and the last. The protos and the eschatos. Eschatology is the study of end times. That's where they get it from. Eschatos, the end. Beginning and the end. And Jesus said, I'm all these things. I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. Guess what? It all happens at once. Because the time is something we work with. We don't have it in heaven. I said, I've talked to clients about God's daytimer. He has an eternity view in his daytimer. He sees the beginning from the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen. You know why he knows? Because he's causing it. It's called sovereignty. John gives us a little bit of hint of this. Just a little bit of a hint of what's going on here. In 1 John 3:12, beloved, we are now the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. We didn't see. You know what? Paul says, imitate me how? As I imitate Christ. Don't imitate me. Please don't. I saw a cartoon once, a poster that said, it may be your only goal in life is to serve as a warning to others. You know? Don't do what I say, do what I do kind of stuff. So Paul says, mimetai, which is mimic, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's how you imitate it. So we doesn't appear, but this is what we know, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I talked to somebody this week that says, I'm ready for that right now. I'm ready for that new skin suit. I'm ready for, you know, that we'll be like him because we'll see him as he is. How is he? We don't know. We know that he could walk through walls. We know that he was recognizable because they could see him. Thomas knew who he was. We know that he ate, you know, the resurrected Christ. But we don't know what all that means, but we'll be in glorified bodies. Remember when they saw the Mount of Transfiguration, they got to see it. And of course, what did the boys want to do? They want to build a hut. Let's build a temple right here now. Boy, if they built that, all that focus would have been away from Christ. You know, we'd be doing just like they're doing all these pilgrimages to all these marvelous places. Jude's Benediction talks about this. And actually, I want to close here. Jude says, some of you know, Pastor Bird Springer, whom my wife knows and no one else she knew, he's been having, just the sweetest man, old conservative Baptist minister in Danville, Pennsylvania. Baptists aren't much into anything. We have covered dish suppers, and we dunk people, no sprinkling, right? No, we dunk them, and we have communion. But he would often close his services with a benediction, and he would, I even raise his hand, which for a Baptist is unthinkable. To raise your hand in church, you know, you don't do that. But I can hear Bird Springer saying this. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to prevent you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forevermore. Look at the words that are in there. He is able to, he's empowered, he has the ability, he has the capability, he's the dynamics. That's dunamis, right? He's able to keep you to watch, phylosa, to guard, watch, keep, look, don't step there. No, don't go there. Remember, what did he do? He turned me in the right direction. To stand amomos, without blemish. Wow. Be patient. God hasn't finished with me yet. Oh, guess what? Not done with you either. I want to close with this. God always finishes what he starts. Faithful is he who called you, who also will do it. He called it, he started, he's continuing it. He's going to stick a fork in it when it's done, and there's nothing you can do about it except be thankful. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of fellowship and the gift of your Son. And the trustworthy word here that we know that you have provided for us. You started it. We couldn't do it. You continue it. Our strength fails. You will finish it. As only you can, we'll give the honor and the glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen.